The question is that, you know, when there is a war, the Kurukshetra war, it is said that those who died, they all attained Krishna's abode. So then the enemies were primarily killed. So the enemies went to Krishna before those who were fighting for Krishna. So how is that fair? So there are two different things over here. One is, you know, our disposition, the other is our destination. So, it is a non-devotional mentality to just want the destination without doing any contribution, without doing any service, to just want the result. It is actually a materialistic mentality. When, for example, if there is a company and there is an employee, the employee wants to do as less work as possible and get as much salary as possible. And similarly, the company wants to get as much work from the employee as possible and give as little salary as possible. So, whereas when there is reciprocation of love, we want to do as much as possible for our beloved. So, a devotee's mood, devotee's focus is not so much on what destination that we can attain, but we will attain. Devotee's focus is primarily on what contribution can I make? How can I express my love for Krishna as much as possible? So devotees are really not concerned what the ultimate destination is. Devotees want to go to the spiritual world, not so much because this world is a place of misery, but because that is where they can uninterruptedly and unlimitedly serve Krishna. That's just to increase our service to Krishna. Secondly, we should not mistake or misinfer something which demonstrates Krishna's benevolence to be a justification for our choices. So that means there are different principles being demonstrated through different situations. So that those who died in Krishna's presence, they attained Krishna's abode. This demonstrates Krishna's incredibly merciful nature. So the purpose of the Bhagavatam describing Krishna's incredibly merciful nature is that even those who have come non-devotionally disposed towards Krishna, even if them Krishna is merciful, then those who come devotionally disposed to Krishna, how much more merciful he will be. So the idea is, in the scripture, sometimes there are statements, descriptions of extraordinary mercy being exhibited. And the mood in which devotees take this is that those extraordinary demonstrations of mercy inspire devotees to follow the ordinary process of bhakti and to receive mercy by that. So for example, in the Ajamil pastime, the 6th canto, it is described that Ajamil just chanted once the name of Narayan and then he got so much benefit. Mrityu Pashat Amuchyata. He saved from the noose of Yamaraj. So now, but the conclusion of this is what? Is it that, all of us should also live lifelong in rivalry and at the time of death chant one Narayan? No, that is not the conclusion either of the Bhagavatam or of Srila Prabhupada's purports. The conclusion is, if Ajamil chanted just once, and even chanted intending to refer to someone else, and even for in that situation the Lord was so merciful, and how much more merciful will He be when we chant His name lifelong intending to refer to Him, to call out to Him? So the purpose is that extraordinary demonstration of mercy should inspire us to follow more diligently the standard process for receiving mercy. And now, if we screw out the particular interpretation like that, then should we be on the side of the opposite to the Lord? And the Lord, then we can go fast to the Lord. No, the point is that the point of reasoning like this is we think of spiritual perfection in very restricted geographical terms. Geographical or physical term. We think that spiritual perfection means going to the spiritual world. Well, the important thing is not to go to the spiritual world. The important thing is to develop love for Krishna. So those who got liberated, they attain impersonal liberation. They didn't attain personal liberation. So, they did not get love for Krishna. See, love is always a matter of choice. We have to choose to love Krishna. If we don't choose to love Krishna, then Krishna is not going to force his love, force us to love him. What Krishna can do is remove the obstacles on our path to loving him. But still, even after the obstacles are removed, it is for us to walk on that path. And if you don't walk on that path, then even if... So what Krishna does, what happens is that when somebody dies in Krishna's presence, at that time, that thought of Krishna at the time of death, because that cleanses them of all the negativity. And that's how they get freed from material existence. But to enter into the highest spiritual existence, they need to have a positive desire to love Krishna. When that is not there, they may get out of material existence, but they attain impersonal liberation. They cannot attain personal liberation. So, we as devotees, our focus is primarily not on destination, but on contribution. And how we can best serve Krishna. And whenever Krishna demonstrates mercy in an extraordinary way, a devotee's mood is not that, Krishna, you should give that extraordinary mercy to me. No, devotee's mood is, oh, Krishna is so merciful. So if I follow the standard process, Krishna will surely be merciful to me. And love cannot be forced on anyone. So people can, those who are demoniac may get cleansed of their sins because of Krishna's extraordinary mercy. But they cannot get love unless they choose to love him. Does it answer your question?
But sometimes, like, a student is not good. So he, by something, he passed the exam.